Wonderful. Well, here we are. And some of you may remember, some of you may not have been here, but a few weeks ago I shared a message concerning destiny thieves. And what I meant by that were things that can happen in our lives that can actually take us completely off track or rob us of the destiny, the preferred future that God has got for us. And when I'm functioning in my prophetic gift, and sometimes I get asked the question, someone will come up and say to me, oh, I had this prophetic word, you know, 10, 20 years ago, whatever, and it hasn't come to pass. Was that person a false prophet? And, you know, that's really based on some misunderstanding, quite a lot of misunderstanding, to be frank, because God has a preferred will and a preferred destiny for us in his heart. But we also have a very real enemy that contends against us. There is an enemy that the devil, Satan, Lucifer, whatever you want to call him, he actually hates God. Because he hates God, he hates anything that God loves. He knows that by holding back on us or destroying our lives or holding us back and robbing us of our destiny, he's actually getting at his arch enemy. Now, I'm just laying some things out. Many of you know this, but some of us don't quite grasp the fact that we are at war. And when we grasp these ideas and we get a handle that we've actually got an enemy, then we can stand up in who we actually are and realize that we've got a fight to fight. We've got a war to fight and not be shocked and surprised or hoodwinked and miss out on what God's got for us, okay? I don't know if I said that very well. But anyway, so last time we looked at the destiny thief called the spirit of fear. And the spirit of fear can become a factor in our lives, and it can become like a compass that skew with in our lives, where we accommodate fear rather than actually dealing with fear. We talked about that there's two common access points to the spirit of fear coming in. One is trauma, the other one is generational curses or tendencies that can cause that opening for that spirit of fear to come in. And instead of actually dealing with the fear, there can be an accommodating the fear and adjusting our lives all the time and then wondering why we don't step in to the destiny and call of God. That was last time. Today we're going to look at the destiny thief called ignorance. Now, some of you got like, oh, who's she calling ignorant? I'm not trying to be insulting today, okay? I'm going to turn that over because I don't need it. But in reality, if we don't understand some things, we can be ripped off. Now, what do I actually mean when I'm talking about destiny? We okay this morning? All good? All right, serious faces out there. When I'm talking about destiny, I'm talking about the preferred will of God for our lives. God has a good destiny in his heart for you. He has good plans for you. You know, some of us even right now need to stick our hand on our chest and say, God has good plans for me. God has good plans for me. For some of us, we've had a pretty rocky ride so far. And we need to actually realign our thinking that God has actually got good plans for us. He's got a good destiny for us. He's got dreams in his heart that are wonderful for you. For every single person in this room, for every single child out there in Children's Church, he has got an amazing plan for their life. We see that in Jeremiah 29:11. I like the Amplified Version. It says, for I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans for welfare and peace and not for evil, and to give you hope in your final outcome. You know, when we pray, Jesus, we refer to it as the Lord's Prayer, but Jesus taught us in praying to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. If you think about it for a minute, that implies that his kingdom may not come in some circumstances, and that his will may not be done. Otherwise, why would we be instructed to pray it? Did you track that with me? Okay. So one of the roles of the prophetic gift is to help reveal the great plans and purposes that God has for us. We also learn through the Word of God. Reading the Bible helps us understand what God's will and purpose is for us. For prayer, praying, seeking His face, you can get these downloads, these inklings of what God's actually got for you when you pray and you set time with Him. What about the family of God? I don't know how many times, I couldn't count how many times people in this room have encouraged me and my gifts. I've said, Janet, you've got to strengthen that. You could do this. As brothers and sisters, we actually help to speak destiny and reveal destiny over each one. Through dreams. I hope that certainly everyone that's ever been to any prophetic training I've done, that you know to have a dream journal. See, God speaks to us through dreams. You see so many examples in the Bible, and I'm not going to, I've got to watch, I don't go off track now. But anyway, if you begin to journal and write down your dreams, you will begin to see that there is a dream language that God uses when He speaks to you. For instance, I've used this before. If I see a dog coming into a dream, in one of my dreams, because I love dogs, it's usually indicating that something good is coming to me. If you hate dogs and a dog comes into a dream, it may mean that that's a bit of a warning from the Lord that something is going to come. Please don't see something in a dream and think something is definitely going to happen. God gives us the heads up. He gives us the heads up because we've got authority in Jesus to actually stop stuff. You're empowered. Anyway, I have gone off course. Back to the notes. That's why I've got notes. So dreams are often symbolic. In fact, most times they are symbolic. But if you get a dream journal, not only will you be able to see looking back, man, that came to pass, but you'll also be able to start to recognize the language that God is using for you. We get indications of what God has put in our heart by things that stir us. So if you get indignant about something, I have one child, and we have one child, and even as a little tot, she would get so indignant about any kind of injustice. It's not fair. They shouldn't be, it's not always about her, but they shouldn't be being treated like that, Mummy. That child, I have seen breakthrough in intercession so powerfully. See, God put a seed within her of this indignation towards injustice. Because He put a power and an anointing upon her to pray and see things shift. So, as I shared last time, entering into the preferred will of God, entering into our destiny is not automatic. We have an enemy who uses strategies to frustrate and hinder, to abort and sabotage the purposes of God. And if we are ignorant, we might fall for those strategies. So today, we are talking about ignorance as being a destiny thief. We are at war. Now look, here's a simple example, but it's a true example that happened in our family. We lived in Cromwell for about 9 years, and of those 9 years, most of them, Wesley was the worship leader on a Sunday morning in the little Cromwell church, New Life Church there. Now we had little children at the time, and the amazing thing is that if we were going to Nana and Granddad's, those kids would get themselves ready and sorted and all into the car good as gold. If we were going to the shops, they'd get themselves sorted and in the car good as gold. But on a Sunday morning, it was somehow different. Now, it wasn't that they didn't like going to church. They loved worship. All of our kids have loved worship. They loved Sunday school. They loved seeing their friends. Why was it? Now, it got to the point. So this is how it would go. The oldest would pick on the next one down. The next one would pick on the next one down. And it would just like go, it would go down this line. And within a few minutes, you would just see this rabble. It would just be this insane fighting, squalling, bawling. And the whole atmosphere of the house would deteriorate. And Wes is there trying to prepare for worship leading. And I'm trying to get ready and get my heart right to go and seek the Lord's face. And the atmosphere of the home was awful. And one morning, I actually woke up, which is a really good thing. And It's really good to wake up in the morning. Yeah, anyway. And I saw it go down, right down. So Mark picked on Mandy, who then reacted and started fighting with Mark, but she also then picked on Kimberly, who then kicked the dog, who then attacked the cat. So within a split second, we had mayhem again. And I stood back and I thought, this is utterly ridiculous. And it was about time I thought that. And I just said, in Jesus' name, I come against you, spirit of contention that's coming against our house on a Sunday morning. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. And it stopped. And it never returned. We are at war. And I tell you what, things that we can think are just normal are actually spiritual warfare, and we need to wake up and not be ignorant. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to say these are important days we're living in. We've got to be aware of the environment that we're in and what we're up against. You see, what could have been the repercussions of putting up with this stuff? I was getting worn down. Every Sunday morning was like hell in our house. I was getting to the point where I didn't actually want to go to church anymore. The kids were getting to the point that they didn't want to get ready to go to church anymore because it was always miserable. Now, what say I just decided on a Sunday, I'm not going to do it anymore. It's gotten too hard. And what say I then decide that I'm actually not going to church anymore and the kids aren't either. Where's you can go and worship lead? It's just too hard for us. And then what say if I ended up being so isolated, they got picked off and began to backslide. You see the repercussions of not standing up and fighting back and realizing we're in a spiritual war actually can become quite big. We must understand we are at war. We must not be ignorant. Ignorance is not bliss. I know in history there's been cases. The Black Plague, for instance. Sorry, I can't give you the date. In fact, this is just off the top of my head, so I might have half the information wrong, but, you know. The general gist that I understand historically is that in England at the time, sewage was just like, they'd go to the toilet in potties, we call them potties, of a night. And in the morning, the upper class would just tip it out the window. So if you happened to be walking along without an umbrella, boys and girls, it was, yeah. It was raining odd things. And so, when sickness came, the sanitation was appalling. And the Black Plague was basically, my understanding was basically because of poor sanitation and poor hygiene, except for the Jews in the community who were following the law. Nobody was understanding about microbes and germs and bacteria. Nobody knew about it. But they were burying, because it said in the Old Testament, it says about going and digging a hole and going to the toilet and covering it up. It says if you touch a dead body, to wash your hands and cleanse yourself. There's all these hygiene laws, and they unknowingly but obediently were obeying the laws, and the Black Plague did not come upon them the same. See, ignorance was not bliss. But even obeying God when you don't understand keeps you in a safer place. If we don't understand we're in a spiritual war with a very real enemy, we can mistake feelings of lack of enthusiasm, tiredness, hopelessness as just being us, instead of recognizing that the enemy of our lives may be actually targeting us with a spirit of heaviness or a spirit of grief, or Jezebel might be coming against us, or generational spirits might be affecting us, or curses may have been released. Or that maybe we're even picking up on the atmosphere that's adverse to us. You know, I'm not saying that being tired is a spiritual thing. God laid down a principle of having rest right in Genesis. However, if every morning you get up and you feel more tired than when you went to bed and you've had 8 hours or more sleep, there might be something else afoot. It's time to not be ignorant. Are we being influenced by something spiritually? On a bigger scale, what about our city? What about our nation? What is the preferred will of God for our city and nation? What has been revealed? What is being fought for? What is being fought for by the enemy, and what needs to be fought for by us? We had a lady that we knew many years ago now, and she worked in A&E in a big hospital in Johannesburg. She was a wonderful prayer warrior. She said to me that there was a crazy phenomenon that would happen in Johannesburg, in the area that she was at, working at the main hospital. She said it was recognised by all the staff in A&E that every weekend certain accidents would come in. So on a Friday or on a Saturday, a whole heap of people who had broken their hips, a whole heap of children maybe, on the next weekend would be like a whole heap of children that had all broken their arms. The week following that would be like a whole heap of people that had head injuries. And it was like acknowledged amongst the staff as a strange phenomenon. And she said it wasn't until a certain witch in their community got saved, came into their church and explained to them that they targeted certain injuries in the covens, just like we're told to pray and target things in prayer. These people actually target and curse people with specific curses, and they know how to do it, and they are doing targeting particular injuries. And this woman said that it was very difficult to curse the Christians, however, but they'd seen quite a bit of success with others. So they began to come against those curses as a church. All I'm saying is we are in a very real war, and sometimes we're ignorant and we just think, oh, this is such a natural phenomenon. But maybe it's not. We are at war, and ignorance is not bliss. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed through lack of knowledge. We are instructed to seek knowledge and understanding. New King James Version, Proverbs 4:7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all your getting, get understanding. I quite like the way that's written, with all your getting. Anyway, get understanding. James 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and with no reproach, and it shall be given to him. We're told to ask for wisdom. Let's not stick with ignorance. Let's ask for wisdom. We've got a liberal God who actually wants to pour out on us. I think we're often comfortable with, we know we can receive his love, we receive his grace, but are we asking and receiving his wisdom? We need spiritual discernment. We need insight, understanding what's natural and what is not in this day. What about the Israelites in the wilderness? Lack of faith, lack of understanding of God's character led to a lack of trust, caused a prolonged journey in the wilderness and the death of an entire generation. That generation lost out on the destiny that God had for them. They escaped Egypt, but they didn't enter their promised land. They were saved, but not fulfilled. Ignorance is a destiny thief. If you compare that with David, who faced a giant, he was a young boy, but he knew who his God was and who was with him, and he ran boldly towards him with just a sling and some stones. But he knew who was backing him, and he knew who he was. And he allowed that righteous indignation to rise up within him and do something about the enemy. The difference between not knowing who's with you and knowing who is huge. Todd Weatherly, we're not long back from the conference, the South Australian Prophetic Conference, and Todd Weatherly said this. He said, to rise as a nation, we need leaders to rise, to step up into their identity. You see, we have a king, Jesus. We have a kingdom to advance, to see the good and great purposes of God established, not just in our lives, but in our families' lives, in our cities' lives, and in the state of the nation. We, therefore, we have a mission and a role. We have a part to partake of. We have a battalion to battle with. We have an army to advance with. Do we truly understand God is reliant on us taking our place in our family, our city, and our nation? We have weapons that are mighty. I spoke about that last time. Why? Because we're operating as warriors for the King. I had this dream as a young person. We were married. I don't know. I might have been 20, 21. And in the dream, Wes and I were driving along in this car, and there was all these rocks and boulders being thrown at us. And it was terrifying in the dream. And I knew that even within the dream, that any moment one of those was going to smash the window and we were going to be hurt. And it was awful. And then for some reason in the dream, I glanced around, and there was this big sword lying in the back seat, just lying there. I turned around in the dream. I picked up the sword, thinking that if I wound down the window, I might be able to slash some of the heads off some of these people that were throwing rocks at us, right? Violent woman that I am. Anyway. Wes just said, don't mess with me. Anyway. But the crazy thing was, in the dream, when I picked up the sword, all those who were throwing rocks at us all just fell backwards. Both sides of the road, all down. I didn't even have to wind down the window and slash anyone's head off. They all just fell when I took up the sword. Now, if you understand dreams and dream language, the sword speaks of the sword of spirit, the word of God. We pick up the word of God. You have it within you. When you've got it within you, you can't be pushed around the same. And the enemies begin to get slaughtered just because you've got it within you. And you know who you are. And you know who's backing you. Todd Weatherly said this. He said, the world has been left to us. That's a sobering thought. Some of us need sobering. Kim Jones, who was another prophet at this, she said, there are mighty doors. So this is a prophetic word being released for today. There are mighty doors of opportunity opening that you thought had been delayed. What you thought had been delayed has only been developing. What could take months or years is accelerating now. But there's alignments for assignments. Spiritual chiropractic adjustments are being made. And there's pain as things are realigned in lives properly. When I heard her say that, that brought me back to the vision and dream that God gave me of Jesus coming and telling these people, empty your pockets. The shocked look on their faces because they thought they were about to be deployed, but instead the Lord was coming, it's time for a cleanup. Kim Jones was saying that similar thing, it's time for chiropractic alignment. You see, it's no good thinking that we can stand for a long period of time if we've got a back that's out of alignment. I speak from experience. It actually hurts. You get weary just standing if there's not correct alignment in your spine. So she's saying there's a chiropractic alignment going on in the body of Christ right now. And it's because we are called as soldiers. We are called to fight in this war. We are called to not be ignorant about the state of the nation and the state of the spirit and to actually allow God to do that chiropractic alignment in us, to straighten us up and get us ready to fight. We must not be ignorant of being at war, nor ignorant of our own condition, nor ignorant of the role we've been called to play, nor ignorant of the season we are in. See, ships make course corrections all the time. They make course corrections because they understand that there's tides and there's waves and there's winds that come against the ship. And so they have to make course corrections. Apollo 11 that went to the moon. They were making course corrections all the time. Now, it would have been a stupid thing, a very stupid thing, for those astronauts to get offended with the fact that there was going to be a course correction. Who knows where they would have ended up? They certainly wouldn't have got back. We have got a destiny that God has got for us, a preferred place to be. And there are corrections and alignments and things that we need to invite into our lives so that we actually hit the mark and don't end up frustrated like the children of Israel round and round the desert when they could have entered into what God had in his heart for them. We need to embrace godly adjustments to allow us to fulfill our destiny. Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, pleasing to God, which is your reasonable service. That word reasonable means rational and logical. So to present ourselves as a sacrifice is not written as an outstanding act, but as a rational, logical move to make. And it carries on, verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that's that adjustment we're talking about, in order to prove to you what is the good and pleasing and perfect will of God. That transformed word there is where we get the word metamorphosis from, and when you look at it, it means it's a renovation of the mind. Stan was saying about who's done renovations, alterations on their house. I'm thinking, God, we need to allow renovations on our brains. It's a good prayer to pray. God, renovate my mind, my thinking patterns. I need an overhaul. It would have been proudful and stupid for those astronauts to have thought that they didn't need course adjustments. We're told to walk circumspectly. Ephesians 5:15 and 16. You're right, all tracking okay? All right. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Let's look in that in the Passion Translation. So be very careful. Be very careful how you live. Not being like those with no understanding, I put in brackets, those who are ignorant, but live honorably with true wisdom, for we are living in evil times. Take full advantage of every day as you spend your life for his purposes. So who are we really? We've just been talking about the fact that we are at war and understanding what the environment that we're actually living in with a very real enemy. But we also need to understand our true identity. Wes touched on the whole thing that we are priests this morning. Kings and priests. I also want to look at the fact that we are soldiers. We need to be not ignorant of our mission and our identity. 2 Timothy 2, 3-4, therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one who wars tangles with the affairs of this life that he may please him who chose him to be a soldier. This is military language. We are called to be soldiers. It's not wusses. It's not babies. We're called to be soldiers. We are actually enlisted. In Philippians 2:25, he talks about someone as a fellow soldier. Then in Philemon, he talks about, in 1 verse 2, talks about, I don't know how to say his name, Archippus. Anyway, our fellow soldier. So we're instructed as soldiers. We're given instructions as soldiers to put on the whole armor of God. I know you know this stuff. Hopefully you know this stuff. Ephesians 6:11-17. And we're also instructed how to war. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. So understanding we're at war and understanding that we're called to be soldiers. Understanding that we've got weapons and that we've got instructions for war is really important for us to achieve our destiny. If we are ignorant of this, we can easily miss out and be ripped off from what God has got for us. There is a fight you need to fight. There is a fight we need to fight. We need to take up arms. I needed to reach back and pick up that sword. It was no good sitting in the back seat of my car. It's no good our Bible just sitting on the shelf getting dust. We need to wake up because of everything that is dependent on us. We have a responsibility. The health of a soldier. He has to look after his health. He has to look after his fitness, listen to commander, know his weapons, know his enemy, and learn the enemy's tactics. I like the fact that in Psalm 23, God says, David writes it, but he's talking about God, that he sets a table for me in the midst of my enemies. If I compare that to Daniel 11:32, it says the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. I want to just mingle those there for a minute. I think we get strong when we take time sitting at the table of the commander and king. I think that's where we can hear the strategies of the enemy. I think that's where we can hear what our true identity is. I think that's where we can see where our weaknesses are and where we need to buff up a bit. It's when we sit at that table of the Lord, when we take time to be with him, there's strength in that place, in the midst of our enemies. Those who know their God will be strong and carry out exploits. You know, hearing the plans and strategies of the enemy isn't fear-mongering. I'm not trying to fear-monger here this morning. Jesus himself said in John 10:10, the thief comes to steal and to kill and destroy. So he's talking about the strategy of the enemy there. But I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Now look at the Greek. It means superabundant in quality. This is the life that God has got for us. Superabundant in quality with exceeding advantage. I come that they may have exceeding advantage. And then when you look up Strong's, it says by implication excessive. I come that you may have excessive advantage, Ruth. Excessive advantage. I've just got a question for myself, a question for everyone in the room and anyone online. Are you living in excessive advantage? Do you feel like you are living in excessive advantage? Do you get around your life thinking, I've got excessive advantage when I go into this opportunity. I've got excessive advantage when I go into this exam. I've got excessive advantage when I go into this business deal I need to go into. I've got excessive advantage because that's what the Word of God says. Jesus says he came to give us excessive advantage. He also said that the devil came to rob, steal, and destroy. So we've got to understand both. We can't be ignorant of either. As well as soldiers, were also kings and priests. Revelation 1:6 says, we are kings, it says we're kings and priests, a royal priesthood. Well, royalty, as sons and daughters of the King of Kings, and being a priest means that there's responsibilities to God and also responsibilities to men. Quoting Todd Weatherly again, kings and priests, if that is so, then I will one day give account for what I allowed in my domain. If that is so, then I will one day give account for what I allowed in my domain. You see, we're an indispensable part of his plan. We're called to be light and we're called to be salt. Agents of change. That's what we're called to be. That's part of our identity. Your destiny is linked up with what you're called to be. When I think about salt, salt stings. It brings cleansing, but it stops the rot. How's your rot stopping going? How good am I being? How responsible am I being at being a rot stopper? Am I standing my ground? Am I taking ground? Am I standing my identity or laying down, being pushed around and ignorant of who I'm actually called for? Who I'm actually called to be and what I'm responsible to do? You see, we can't be ignorant of the war. We can't be ignorant of our mission and call. And we don't want to be ignorant of the King's favour towards us and what that means. Because if we're ignorant, we're at risk of missing out our identity. Ignorance is an identity thief. I did a bit of research about why soldiers desert the army. And there's a whole lot of reasons, but some of the prime reasons are that they think they're beaten, they think they have inferior leaders, or they think they have inferior weapons. Ignorance is not bliss. We don't have an inferior leader. God is commander and king. Jesus is the king of angel armies. He is in no way inferior. He's not inferior to the devil. This thing of yin and yang is a whole lot, it's garbage. Yin and yang shows that darkness and light are equal. That's nonsense. Our God is creator of universes. Our God sent his own son to die in our place that we can enter boldly into the presence of God, boldly. Our God is almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving. That's who our God is. There's no yin and yang thing. Evil is not evil. The devil was only a created being. He was an angel that fell. But he's got a chip on his shoulder. So we need to understand that we can't be thinking that who's backing us is beaten. We can't think that we've got inferior weapons. That's not what the Bible tells me. And we need to understand who is backing us. We have his favor. His favor protects us. Psalm 5:12. We're wrapping up soon. You all right? If the person next to you is asleep, give them a nudge. So this is important. I'm just looking to see who's being nudged now. All right. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor you will surround them as with a shield. God's favor surrounds us like a shield. I think we need to ponder on some of this stuff. We need to focus on his favor and remember his faithfulness. Revelation 12:11, they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. That word testimony means to report, to tell of what God has done, remembering his goodness, his favor, and his faithfulness. When we remember the goodness of God, we get stronger. When we talk of the goodness of God, we encourage ourselves in our faith. We need to remember who we are, remember his favor is towards us and how good he is, and think back of the good things he's done. And if you can't think of good things in your own life, because maybe you've only just become a Christian and you're only just beginning this journey, have a look in your Bible. Look in the Old Testament. Look at some of these heroes and how they overcame and how God rushed in to protect them, to fight with them, to battle. Think of little David running towards Goliath, knowing who was backing him. So remembering and speaking about his goodness, his favor, and his faithfulness causes us to overcome. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you are saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God because of his favor. That word there, that grace word means favor. When you look at the Greek, grace, favor, because of his favor, I was saved. So I'm in his favor right now. If you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you received it because of his favor. You received him because of his favor. You are able to receive him because of his favor, and you're already standing in his favor. I've got God's favor. Every one of us right now, you put your hand on, just speak it to yourself. I've got God's favor. I've got his favor. He's backing me. I'm not alone. I'm not facing this stuff alone. I've got his favor. So his favor actually saved us, and our faith about his favor, believing he loved us, believing he sent his son to die for us, believing he's telling the truth, we got saved because of trusting in his favor and his goodness. Now we wage warfare. We stand in our identity, remain aware of his continual favor and goodness wrapping around us like a shield. Let's not be ignorant of his favor. Now, last scripture, you've hung in there really well. Oh, I forgot, I haven't looked at the time at all. 1 minute, 23, 22, 21 seconds. We're doing good. All right, Ephesians 2, verse 7. I love it in the Passion Translation. I know many of you have seen it before, but it's just so precious. Ephesians 2, 7. Throughout the coming ages, we will be the visible display of the infinite, limitless riches of his grace and kindness, which he showered upon us in Jesus Christ. For it was only through this wonderful grace that we believed in him. Nothing we did could ever earn the salvation, for it was the gracious gift from God that brought us to Christ. So no one will ever be able to boast, for salvation is never a reward for good works or human striving. We have become his poetry, a recreated people that will fulfill the destiny he has given each of us. For we are joined to Jesus, the Anointed One. Even before we were born, God planned in advance our destiny and the good works we would do to fulfill it. We must understand, we must not be ignorant. Don't allow ignorance to be a thief of your destiny. Understand that we are at war. Understand that you've got a mission and a call. Understand that you've got weapons for your warfare. Understand that you've got strategies of how to fight. Understand his favor towards you, like a shield around about you as you go forward. And don't get ripped off of the destiny and the good things that God has got for you. Amen? All right. So I've just got some questions this morning as I wrap up. Are you in relationship with God? Have you considered his goodness, his kindness, and his love towards you? That's your first question. If you can say yes to that, then just stay in your seat. Actually, can everybody stand right now? That'll be good. I'm just going to pull out some questions here. And if you feel any of these relate to you, then the altar, the space up the front here, is going to be available for you to receive some prayer if you need some. So the first one is, are you in relationship with God? If you're not in relationship with God, do you know the devil is real whether you believe in God or not? You have an enemy, you have an arch enemy whether you believe in God or not. The difference with believing in God and siding with Jesus is you actually side with the winning side and you get a whole heap of weapons and ways to be able to fight. So saying that you don't believe in Jesus because you don't want to enter the fight is nonsense. You've got an enemy that actually wants to destroy you anyway. Side with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Commander of Angel Armies, I'll get it. Side with him. See who you really are. So are you in relationship with God? That's the first question. Second one, are you taking time to sit with him? Are you asking him to help empty your pockets? To make the adjustments? Or to show you the adjustments that need for you to make? Coming back on the flight, yesterday we went to Hastings to be with the Connell family because Mike Joy Connell's son died suddenly in Australia and the funeral was yesterday. We wanted to be there for them. So we flew up and we flew back. The plane was cold coming back. I didn't have enough clothing on for the temperature in the aircraft. And after a bit, Wes reached over and he just touched my leg and felt how cold I was. And he took his jacket off and he put it over me. And then he put his arm around me so I could snuggle in into his armpit, which was warm and not moist. I just ruined the moment. Anyway, the thing was, it just gave me, I was in the worship this morning, I was just thinking that's how God is for us. When we take that time to sit at his table in the midst of our enemies, when we take that time just to commune with him and understand the enemy's strategies and understand who we are and understand and feel how he feels about us, when we get time to come and nestle in and feel his warmth around us, we are in a very safe and powerful place. Are you taking time to sit with him? That was the second question. Third one. Do you need to cast off feelings of heaviness or self-pity or rejection and re-look at the favor that's surrounding you? Are there enemies that you've come into agreement with that you need to deal with? Do you need to take up arms? Where's your sword? Is it in your hand or your back seat? Just asking. The position that Wes and I have in this church, but also in the nation, we see people slaughtered all the time. I'm over it. I am overseeing destinies and callings destroyed because people have been ignorant of the plans of the enemy. Lives destroyed, children's lives destroyed. I'm over it. We cannot afford ignorance to be our friend. Ignorance is not bliss. We've been given mighty weapons because we need to use them. We need to understand them. We need time with our commander and king to hear instructions and not get ripped off. So if any of those things apply to you or you'd like prayer this morning, do feel free to come up. Maybe somebody, Paulette, thank you. I'm just going to give you a minute to think about that. If you haven't come into relationship with Jesus as your Lord and as your Saviour, now's a really good time to do it. If you haven't been sitting at his feet and you need to repent, now's a good time to do it. If you've been accommodating some of these spirits that try to rip you off and just thinking it's normal, loneliness, rejection, tiredness, fatigue, any of these things you've been partnering with and you need to deal with them, now's a good time to do it. Now is a very good time to bring these things before the Lord, to repent, to allow him to make those spiritual chiropractic adjustments. It might hurt. I've got a really good chiropractor. She regularly apologizes to me. Sorry. But within a couple of days, I realize that I'm standing and I'm not hurting. And that's what we want. We want to be able to stand in strength. We want to be able to run in a straight line. We want to be not ripped off from our destiny. We want to be able to go for what God has got for us and not miss out on it. We want to allow those adjustments to be made. Some of us this morning, you just need to open up. We just need to open up our hearts and say, Lord, whatever I need adjusting in, I give you permission right now to make those adjustments, to show me what I need to do. But Lord, I give you permission to make those adjustments in my life, to take away the things that need to be taken away. And Lord, I ask for you to add the things that need to be added. Lord, I come to you. I recognize the seriousness of the days. Lord, we recognize, I'm going to turn this into a prayer right now. Father, we recognize the seriousness of the days. Father, I thank you for this word, Lord God. Lord, you don't want us ripped off by ignorance, Lord. Ignorance is not bliss. We break our agreement with any thought that ignorance is bliss. It's not, Lord. You ask us to ask for wisdom, Lord. We ask for wisdom. Lord, we understand the seriousness of the days, Lord God. We understand that there's people around us that are depending on us, pressing into you and being strong and healthy and having the answers and being light and being salt, Lord, and stopping the rot. Lord, forgive us where we have just come into agreement with demonic things that have tried to pull us down and we've just stayed down. Lord, we make a commitment today to receive the healing and the freedom that you've got for us, Lord. So we will stand up on what you've got for us. We will stand up, we'll rise into our true identity. Lord, I make a commitment today to stand up and who you've called me to be in your strength and in your precious name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Is there anyone here this morning and you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Saviour? Just give me a wave. I just want to make sure you're prayed with first. Okay. Can I invite the ministry team to come up and just quietly begin to pray for these people and the journey that they're in. Find out what it is they've responded to and just help them on their journey. Father, thank you for your grace ministering to every single person that's responded, whether they're up the front or, Lord, they're still at their seat, Lord God. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your favor. Thank you for your strengthening power for us to go from strength to strength in you. In Jesus' name. Amen.